Up to Perek Mem Gimel, we're in the middle of Pasuk Yud Aleph. Yud Aleph. Okay, we did yesterday two Pesukim. We didn't do the Rashi and Pasuk Yud Aleph. Perek Mem Gimel. Perek Mem Gimel. Perek Mem Gimel Pasuk Yud and Yud Aleph. So this is the Hatera of Parshas Tetzaveh. No, Tetzaveh. I'm telling you, look in the Chumash.
Chumash.
Tetzaveh. What? No. Good morning. Shalom. Good morning. This is the Haftarah Parshas Tetzaveh. Atah ven Adam Hageid Espeis Yisrael Sabayis. This is the Haftarah Parshas Tetzaveh. Okay, so we did yesterday Pasuk Yud and Pasuk Yud Aleph. And there are many, many yesodos, many, many major principles in these pesukim. It's really remarkable. Okay, so yesterday we just touched upon the first principle. Let's review very quickly for those who were not here yesterday. And the first yesod is of here that Hashem says to Yeshaya, it says to Yecheskel, that I only want you to tell them about the Beis Hamikdash if they want to hear about it. If they don't want to hear about it, then don't bother. Don't bother telling them something that they have no appreciation for. This is unlike every nevuah that we've come across in our learning, because all of the nevuahs, Hashem says, they have to hear it whether they like it or not. You have to go and let them hear the Musar Hashem. Even if they do not like it, they do not appreciate it, it has to be said here. Here, the way the Mefarshim learn, both Rashi, and we're going to read again, we need the Rashi in one moment. The Rashi is, you're only going to tell them Musar, Perek Mem Gimel. Perek Mem Gimel. Sicheskel, Perek Mem Gimel, Pasik Yud. Mr. Wife, it's not because I know anything, it's only because it says it here in the notes. It's not because I have any knowledge. I don't know from anything. I just read what it says. Okay, Perimil Pasik Mem Gimel. No. I don't know anything. Believe me, the more older you get, the more you know you don't know. You know from nothing. So we learned yesterday a very important yisoid. The yisoid is that the only Hashem is telling Yecheskel, you're going to start telling them about the Beis Hamikdash. You're going to start to describe them what it's going to be like in the Bayis Shlishi, and you're right away going to assess their reaction. You're going to see, are they receptive? Are they interested? Are they ashamed? The main idea was they feel embarrassed for their sins that they have done, which caused the Chorban Bayis Rishon. And if you see they feel a sense of shame and a yearning for the rebuilding of the Bayis Shlishi, the next Bayis, then indeed proceed to relate to them what you've seen in this vision. If on the other hand, is this should be on the shelf? No, this should be there. They're on the table. Okay, well, if you see that they are not interested, you start to tell them about the Bayis Shlishi, and it's just, there's no connection, then don't proceed. Just forget about it and let it be what it is. That is the first yisoid, and indeed it's very, very true. When you teach Torah, if you see there's no people, if the people who are not receptive to listening, then it just doesn't go. It just doesn't go. It's more of a, it becomes that what you're trying to teach becomes, it becomes demeaned in their eyes. It lowers the stature, the chashivus of what you're trying to teach, when the people have no interest in hearing about this topic. That was the first he said. Now let's just see Rashi. Rashi elaborates a little bit more in Pasuk Yud Aleph. We did not yet do the Rashi. Pasuk Yud Aleph in Rashi, Im Nichlamu, She Yisbaishu. Only continue to tell them about all the different parts of the Beis Hamikdash. We learned yesterday in very great detail. It's a very long Pasuk. Pasuk Yud Aleph describes all the, it was like a summary. It's a summary of all the different parts of the Beis Hamikdash in one pasuk. Im nichlamu, they're put to shame. She yispaishu, the yich b'shu pinehem, and they hide their faces. They put their faces down in shame. We know that one of the midos of Klal Yisrael is baishanim. Baishanim, Rachmanim, Goimlei, Chasadim, if they show a sense of shame, Mikol Asher Asu, Oz then, Hoda Oisam, Esma, Shani Asila, Sois Lohem. Then, only then should you proceed to teach them about what will be in the future and tell them about the Tzuras Abayis. Now here, remember, we learned Mitzudos yesterday very slowly, describing, reviewing everything that we've learned. So here, Rashi is not the same. Rashi has a little bit different interpretation of these words. The Tzuras Abayis, Givul HaBinyan, He'ochu Milifonov, V'ad Acharov, Sidurim liarba ruchoisaf. He has a different interpretation. We learned the mitzvahs. He translated the first time and says the word suras, all the different chambers. There's the kodesh hakodashim. There is the heichal, the ulam, the ta'im, the tzalaos. All the different things. That's what the word that's what the word sura, according to the mitzvahs, David meant. According to Rashi, it means the boundaries. It has a whole different twist. Gevul habinyan, the boundaries. Heyachu milifonov, the ad acharav. What were the exact dimensions? Sidurim liarba ruchosav, arranged according to all four sides. Obviously, that's a whole different understanding of the word surah. We'll leave it with that. Utechuna soy, cheshboin ta'av velishkoisav, the number of chambers and of, you know, the small little rooms, those little cells which surrounded the Heichol, which we know were 33 in the will be 33 in the Bayis Shlishi, and we learned about also the cells that were in by the gates. Each one of the gates had a series of Ta'im. So he learns Utechuna, so means the number. That's not the way the Mitzudos David learned this word yesterday. We learned that Utechuna, so according to the Mitzudos David, means its position, its location. Where exactly in the big picture of things were each one of these chambers located? Rashi learns Uschuna so means the number. Chatirich Chazal are called Seifrim. Seifrim, they count. Why is Chazal called Seifrim? Yad Dafyomi. The Divrei, the Lishkas Hagazis. Why are they called Seifrim? Because they count. And here the word Uschuna so means exactly that. Everything should be counted, all of these rooms. And then it says the word v'chol tzuroisav. What does this mean? Completely different than the mitzudos. It means kiruvim. What exactly the kiruvim look like, which I guess was etched into the walls. The timayrim, the palm trees, the elim. Elim, those two massive columns, which had on top of them crowns in the image of a palm tree. The aleim, the aleimim, and these are the posts. The elim are the different entranceways. The entranceway, the ulam, the elim was the entranceway that was in the gate, in the shar, when you came in and when you went out. The chol tzuroisav, it said, remember yesterday, it says the word tzuroisav four times. This word tzur appears in this very long pasuk Yedaleh four times, and here we're dashing the third time, basra loy pirash. So look at that. Rashi right away says, even though the mitzudos did not shy away from telling us what all these four words mean, Rashi says it's not been explained, the last one, I guess the fourth one, what it means, the significance of repeating this word for the fourth time. The Yishmeru, in fact, the Mitzudos said the fourth time, he said it was just a general summary. The Mitzudos said that the fourth time it says Tzuroisav, it pretty much means the same thing that it meant the first time, all the different chambers, all the different types of rooms that existed in the, that will exist in the Bayis Shlishi. Next word, v'yishmeru, yilmedu inyonei hamidois mipicha, you shall teach them the measurements, mipicha, sheyedu la'soysam le'es kates. Isn't that amazing? That Yecheskel should teach Klal Yisrael exactly how to construct when Mashiach comes. The kates, ge'ula, when Mashiach will come, they should know exactly how to build the Beis HaMikdash. They should be architects, know the dimensions. Ru'uya, now Rashi elaborates. Rashi quotes a Chazal, it's a famous Chazal. And this Rashi really, you know, this Rashi is really a major Yesoid. You know, this Rashi, we should have learned this Rashi in the beginning, before we started all the dimensions. I always thought this was a Teferes Yisrael. I always quoted this idea in the beginning of Masechta Midos. The Teferes Yisrael says exactly what Rashi is about to say. So I always thought it's an Acharayim. The Teferes Yisrael is relatively recent. He says this idea, but this idea Rashi expresses here very clearly. Ru'uya Haisa Bia Shnia Shel Ezra Kibia Rishoyna Shel Yahushua. When Ezra ascended with Klal Yisrael at the time of the Geula, at the time of when Koresh gave permission to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, it was meant to be miracles. It was meant to be, Klal Yisrael was meant to experience the greater miracles at that point in time than what they experienced at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Lavoi Bizroya, to come into Eretz Yisrael with great power, force, uvenes. Kedidar Shinyan, like it says, Ad Yavar, Amzukoni, Ad Yavar Hashem, Ad Yavar Amzukonisa. It says the word Yavar twice, and Chazal Darshin, that the second Yavar should be equal or even greater to the first Yavar. Ubinyan Ze, Me'oz, now these are very, very, this is a major Yisoid in the whole understanding of the Bayesh Lisha. Ubinyan Ze, what we have just spent the last month learning, Me'oz Hoya Roy Lohem. This binyan, what we see, all these diagrams, this was supposed to be at the time of Ezra. This was supposed to be the Bayesh Sheni. What we call the Bayesh Sheni was really meant to be this. Kish'olu min ha'goyla. Ligu'ulas oylam was meant to be a permanent base hamish with no destruction. Ela shegora machet. Okay, it's a Chazal tell us. Is that Yaakov is a famous Chazal? Vayira Yaakov meoid vayetzer loy. Yaakov, when he came up, when he met up with Esav, he was terrified. Why was Yaakov terrified? Did not Hashem guarantee Ushmarticha b'chol asher telech? Didn't he have the greatest haftach? Hashem himself told him, "I'm going to protect you." The answer is, there are no guarantees in life. You can have the brachos, the best yichus. You can have the brachos from the biggest tzaddikim. You can have all the schusim you want. If a person, rachmanu litzlan, does a chait, and that chait in the eyes of Hashem is serious enough, and he does not do tshuva, all the haftachos, all of the promises that was meant to be, goes right down the drain. Shema Yigroim Hachet. And Chazal very frightfully tell us exactly what happened. It was meant to be great things at the time of the Bayis Sheni, but because of the Chatoim of intermarriage and the lack of passion to return to Hashem and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, that Chet was significant. Shrashi says, Shelo Hoysa Teshuvasam Hoygenes Al Menash Lo Lachtoi. Their teshuva at the time of the 70 years of Golus between the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni was not sufficient. Al menash shelo lachto. Now he hears very powerful words. Is that they would not mekabel, but they won't do the sins again. It's one thing a person at the time, a person does an avera. Okay, so I'm going to take a break. I'm going to take a break from doing averos, and I'm not going to sin for the next couple of weeks. But the resolve not to ever do the sin is not strong, and therefore it was insufficient, and therefore what happened? The Yatsu Birishus Koresh Ubanu Liatzman, and therefore Hashem minimized the miracles. There were no miracles. The entire Geula of the Bayis Sheni took place al derech ha-teva. Koresh said, "I give you permission. If you want to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, go right ahead. I'll even give you a donation. I'll give you seed money to start up a new Beis HaMikdash, I'll give you permission." And they went. Uvanu liatzman. Mikdash did not come out of heaven. There were no miracles. There were architects. They were working. They were probably fighting what to do, what not to do. And only a very small percent, only 5% of the Jewish population actually took advantage of Koresh, of his permission to come to Eretz Yisrael. 5% of the Jewish population, exactly the same percent of the Jewish population that made Aliyah when the state of Israel was founded and the law of return was enacted. Anyone who wants to come to Eretz Yisrael can come to Eretz Yisrael. Only 5% of the Jews in Golis took advantage at the time in 1948 to come to Eretz Yisrael. And they built on Liatzman. And therefore that's why this that we have learned here in Sefer Yecheskel, Perek Mem, Mem Aleph, and Mem Beis, and now Mem Gimel, it did not happen. The Beis HaMikdash that we learn about in Masechta Midos and in Masechta Yoma, is not what we have learned to them. It's a completely different Beis HaMikdash. It's basically a watered down version. It is like, you know, people, they do construction of big hasagas. Big hasagas. We're going to have marble here and a room here and this there and that there. Halacha l'maisa, when they start doing construction, no, it's too expensive. Forget about this, forget about this. Before you turn around, you build a barn. You build something very, very watered down, very slim, because the expenses are just off the charts. Same thing. They were not roy for what the Mikdash was supposed to be, and it was reflected in the fact that the Bayis Sheni that was built was just basically a skeleton of what the Bayis Shlishi is all about. All of the glory of the Bayis Shlishi is not in the Bayis Sheni, it's kosher. I'm going to show you the Malbim, and the Fumi was an amazing Malbim, really explains this idea very, very well, because not everything that it says here in Sefer Yecheskel is ma'akev. We know when you do a mitzvah, you can do a mitzvah many ways. You can do a mitzvah with all of the hidurim. But you can do a mitzvah, you just the bare bones. You know, you just get by. You do the mitzvah, and if you have A, B, C, and D, yaitza the mitzvah. You don't have to have all the, you know, the biggest hidurim. So too, the Beis HaMikdash is kosher. It was a kosher Beis HaMikdash. It had the basic elements, but did not have all the bells and whistles which would bring it to a mikdash, which would bring the ultimate shechina. Now Rashi adds here, what was the sin? What exactly? Rashi really did not elaborate. When Rashi really first said that, Rashi really says there were two sins. The first sin was that their resolve was insufficient. Shelo hoisa teshuvasam hoigenes al menash shelo lachato. That was the sin. Rashi is saying very powerful words, because it's hard to define what exactly went wrong at the time of the Bayis Sheni. So again, Rashi's first interpretation was that it has nothing to do with intermarriage. That's what I told you, that's the next, and that's really what most people say. But Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi seems to give Klai Shul a pass. They intermarried. A person has a Yetzirah. They're in Golos. What do you expect? That's what happens. You're living in a very, very complicated world. But there were Nevi'im, there was Ezra, Nehemiah, and they were presented with an opportunity to do Teshuvah, and they did Teshuvah. They did Teshuvah. Otherwise, they would not have been redeemed altogether. Shema Yigam Achet goes all the way. It'll be zero. They did teshuva, but it was not a teshuva shalema. It was insufficient. And what's the lack? What's lacking in the teshuva? The resolve never ever to do this again. We all have those. We all have those. That struggle. A person, you do something wrong, I'm going to cut it out. But I don't feel that my conviction is not strong that I'll never do this again. Hashem is roya as a person's heart, and that was the problem. And then Rashi says another problem. The problem was Gili Arayas. Well, Gili Arayas, it's really they married in intermarriage. Intermarriage, and they worshipped idols. What idols they worship? They bowed down to the Tselim of Nebuchadnezzar. They were Nene from the Sud of Achashverosh. There were things that were going on which related to idolatry. So these were the sins which prevented us from meriting the rebuilding of what we learned about here in Sefer Yecheskel. And that's why this has to be set aside, has to await the Geula Ho'asid. Okay, so this Rashi is an amazing Rashi.
This Rashi doesn't say the
Tselem.
Okay, I have it in brackets. Soon we're coming to Trei Aser, and everyone's going to have this. And Yiras Hashem, you're going to pay for it. And Yiras Hashem, you're going to get one with the Heksha of the Badats. I joke around. Dats. Everything here has that. This is just, if you learn from this Mikros Gedolos, it's unbelievable. It comes to life. All the Mefarshim laid out here with such clarity with the Malbim. So Yiras Hashem almost finished Yecheskel. We learn soon Yiras Hashem. In a few weeks, we're probably going to start Trei Aser. And you're all going to have, we'll have the same edition. We know there, article already published to Trei Aser, we're all going to get that. And Yiras Hashem will be a new, I guarantee it will be a new experience, a whole new learning experience. We'll be able to use this edition. You'll see, we'll be able to reference the Malbim, the Doc, if different other Mefarshim. It really, really comes to light. It's amazing how a sefer, you know, when presented in the right way, it enhances the learning to such a large degree. Okay, now there's a very, very beautiful Malbim, really beautiful Malbim in the previous pasuk, which speaks volumes. It speaks volumes of what this is all about. Let's go back to pasuk Yud. Let's read the words Let's read the whole thing already, because once we do it inside, it's a very, 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 very sadistic, it's a very deep idea, but it's important. Pasuk Yud, back to the previous pasuk in the Malbim, the Beir HaInyan, Atah, then Adam, Hageid, Hageid Espace, Yisrael, Es HaBayis, Sivolo, Sheyagid, Lohem, Shero Es HaBayis, Banui, Umeshuchlol. Hashem commanded Yechezkel to reveal to the Jewish people that Yechezkel saw the bayis complete. Umeshuchlol means perfect. Every little detail, every detail was in place. The oy made nochel lefnei Hashem, and it's ready to come down. It's prepared. Rak she'avon esem ma'akvim. It's their sins that are preventing the bayis from descending from heaven. Ulchein, therefore, you call mu me'avon esem. That's what the pasuk says. They should be put to shame. The maru loshu v'shuva. Yecheskel's begging the people now. I think we learned this was how many years? 14 years. If I'm not mistaken, this whole section took place 14 years after the Churban. It's only 14 years, and in year 70 years is when the Mikdash is going to be built. It was meant to be the Gula. The oz if they'll do tshuva, Yisra'eh bayis ha'asid b'chvoidai. The oz, now here are these powerful words, yim didu es tochnes ha'bayis. So he adds the words oz, then when they do teshuva, everyone adds the word oz, then they will Hashem Yecheskel, after they do teshuva, they humble themselves and they show an interest, Yecheskel should measure for them the bayis. He should give out illustrations. He should give shiurim. What exactly the bayis shlishi is going? What is it going to look like? And go through everything that we spent so much time on. The gam. So in addition to the pshutoi shel mikra, the Malbim here says something very, very, very deep. The gam ritzoinu loymar ki tsuras habayis uveprote in yonov, in the image of the Beis Hamikdash and in the details of the Beis Hamikdash, yesh rimozim ruchanim, there are spiritual hints, horoim zim al hanhogas Hashem, on the conduct of Hashem, hahashkochis hapliis, the wondrous divine involvement that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hidden, roye ve'einoy nireh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running this world. If you want to understand the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, study the Beis HaMikdash, and you will discover the awesome, the pali'is, habilti talui b'seder ha'olam ativi. Hashem, the way Hashem runs the world is not derech hateva. It's not normal. It's not lefi the seichel. Rak b'hanhogas Beis HaNefesh, with the hanhoga, the conduct of the neshama, livnoisoi, to build it, uleshachleloi, kidugmas habayis hagodol, v'lavoi boi es havoido ha'arucha b'beis ha'nefesh, and a person should arrange in his own neshama, a person should arrange in his neshama how to serve Hashem, al shmiras ha'toira v'ha'mitzvois, to guard the Torah v'ha'mitzvois, kidugmas, just like ha'avoido ha'arucha, the service that's been arranged, b'bayis ha'godol. Now he is on over here. V'ha'aloas nefesh ha'chayim el hu'alukim, and to elevate a person's neshama to Hashem, el shayachul bom ba'kodesh, that he should bring upon himself holiness. U'lefi zeh binyan. Now look at these words. Binyan habayis toluy bebinyan beis nafsham. There's a direct parallel to the architecture of the Beis HaMikdash to the architecture of your neshama. Just like in the Beis HaMikdash there's a Kodesh HaKodashim, in your neshama there's a Kodesh HaKodashim. Just like in the Beis HaMikdash there are plates of gold with a tamar surrounded by two kruvim, and each kruv has the image of a human being and of a lion. In your neshama, there is a part of your neshama that has a gold plate with etched, embossed, a tamar and two kruvim. These are very mystical things. Kifi tzuras habayis, ukifi midos ha'torah, and according to the midos, the laws of the Torah, v'tzurasa, she'al zeh omar, this is the message that Yechezkel is supposed to relate to Klal Yisrael. Hageid es beis Yisrael, speak to them, He should have said, Hageid El Beis Yisrael. He should have said, El. Why does it say the word S? It should say El. Sha'achar Hagodot Tomit Bo Milas El. Study Tanakh. You will discover it always says the word El after the word Hageid. So what does it say S? Rak, Ritzon Loimar, Shetage Lohem, He has Beis Yisrael Es Habayis. The neshama of Klal Yisrael is parallel to the physical structure of the bayis. Shebeis Yisrael heima heim habayis. The habayis toli bohem. The chol in yonei tochvis habayis. All of the dimensions, the measurements, the elements of the bayis heimoyrim. They reveal al hanhogas ha'om according to the conduct of Klal Yisrael. Al pi ha Torah v'chukoy seha, and thus, when you understand the Beis Hamikdash, I'm giving over here a blueprint to understand your own neshama. Uvezeh, you call mu me'avonoi sehem. You can use this. You can build upon this to do tshuva and to be ashamed of your sins. Umodetu es tochnis l'chavein midos hanefesh kifi midos habayis. Okay, so this is way out stuff. Okay, now, and the Malvin is not even giving us even one example. He's not even giving us one example of how what part of your body corresponds to the Shar Mizrach. What part of your body corresponds to the double doors that enter into the Heichal? What part of your body corresponds to the single doors that enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? He's not even giving you one example, but he's telling you that every single thing it says over here has a parallel in the neshama, and by understanding the depth of what these things mean, then you will understand how to apply yourself, what to do in order to be metahir your neshama and be worthy of the geula. So this is the yesoid, this is a very powerful yesoid of the Malva. Okay, now we go to another very important Malbim. Okay, this Malbim really parallels the Rashi that we just read in Pasuk Yud Aleph. This Malbim, and the Malbim is saying the same thing, like what we just said before in Rashi, is that this Beis HaMikdash that was revealed to Yechezkel was meant to be the Bayis Shem. It's only because they did not do a Teshuvah Shalema, they did not merit this exact structure. They built a watered-down version of the Beis HaMikdash. So we explain. So who says the Beis HaMikdash that they built in time of the Bayis Sheni was kosher? Who says it's a kosher Beis HaMikdash? Who says that they'll get a certificate of occupancy by the Beis Din Tzedek that you're allowed to come in here and do avoda? It's not built according to the rules. It's not built according to the rules and regulations, yeah?
You could prove it that the Sor Lazozel turned red, you know, the white, so
is
the Shina was there.
Oh, obviously. I mean, the question I'm telling you is moot, because obviously it was, but so I just told you the answer that really the Malam said, is that just because there are a lot of details, not every detail is ma'akev. The menorah has many details. There are kaftorim, there are prochim, there are gevoinim, there's a certain number, there's a certain height. Let's say you take the simplest menorah you buy in Arjav. Does it even exist anymore, Arjav? You buy an amazing savings. A menorah of plastic that has 8 branches. And you light in the Beis HaMikdash, the coin is Klal Yisrael Yoytze, the mitzvah of Hadlokas HaNeiros in the Beis HaMikdash? Yes. Yes. The Chashmanah, they say they took swords. Some of them, is there a medrash, is it a legend, that they took their...
Eights.
They took wood, it should not be metanic. But there's another that says they took bars, they took actually their swords. They took the swords they use in battle, the chashmaim, and they made a makeshift menorah out of swords, with 8 branches, and they lit the menorah. Okay, that's not so simple. Whatever that means, it means. But let's say you don't have, let's say you go buy, I told you, amazing savings, a little menorah that has 8 branches, and you go and you put on top Shem and Zay Zoch, and you light the menorah, as Aaron Mikayim the mitzvah of what it says in the Torah, Lahala Isner Tamid, L'chori yes. Oh, but it has to be made out of gold, and it has to either be round, it has to be like the Rambam, it has to be on the corner, and it has to have the kaftoidim, the prochim, the gevim, and it has a certain amount of numbers, and it was so complicated that Moshe himself didn't have any clue what's going on, and Hashem said, Moshe, it's too hot for you, I'll take care of it, just throw it into the fire, throw the girl into the fire, miraculously it came out. So the Mufarshim I've seen says, these are hidurim, hidurim, but they're not ma'akiv. You need very little to be yoytzei these mitzvahs. The mizbeach, as long as it's perfectly square, even if it's one amah by one amah, and it's on the makom of where it's supposed to be in the center, it's also a kosher mizbeach. What?
No pegimais.
It's perfectly square, and it's at least one amah by one amah, and there are corners. But it has to be 32 amos with the yisoid and the soivev and this and that. Yeah, these are all very nice things. Halavai, halavai. But with the evidence, even if it's not with all the bells and whistles, pardon the expression. So here as well, that's what's saying over here. That's exactly the point. When they built the Bayesheni was basically, it's kosher b'diyet. You bring your esrog to your rav, and you look. There's a spot here, and there's a spot here, and there's a problem here. The rav looks at the esrog and says, "It's not the best esrog I've seen today." But no, you can make a bracha. So when you look at the Beis HaMikdash, it's not what it says here in Yecheskel. The Bayesheni is not what it says in Yecheskel. No, it's kosher. It's kosher b'diavad. Okay, that's what I told you. That's what I told you with Rashi. The Malam just brings it out in a much more detailed form. Look at the Rashi Malam pasuk Yud Aleph. Let's jump down to where it says the Dibur Hamaskel Tsuras Habayis Hoida Oisam. Yecheskel made known to them the Tzuras Habayis. You have it? It's Pasuk in the Malbim, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Just go down, I don't have your edition, but there's a couple of lines down to the Dibur Hamaskel Oz. Let's have Nadim. If you don't have it, I'll go off Nadim. You got it?
Yeah,
okay, 10 lines down.
So
it says here, Oz, Tzuras Habayis, Hoida Isam. Hirak Oz, Yivne Habayis, Hazeh. Only when they do teshuvah, when you call mu me'avoido sehem, the Amar po shloisha pamim tzura sabayis. And it really says four times. From the beginning, it says three. So the Malbim says, why the repetition? So when we learned yesterday the mitzudos David, and then we learned today Rashi. Rashi is choylik on the mitzudos David. Rashi says a whole different interpretation of why he says the word tzura sabayis 3/4 times. The Malbim has another interpretation of why it says the word Tzura Sabayis 3 times. It's unbelievable. Why? Aleph, Hatzura Hamuchrachas Lihiyoyz B'chol Bayis Sheyibone LaHashem. What is Ma'akev? The skeleton, the bare bones. If you don't have this, puzzle. If the Eshrog doesn't have a skin, and if the Eshrog doesn't have a certain side, there are certain basic details. The E Efsher Bilada. There are certain details. If it's lacking, forget it. You don't even start. And these details were the common denominator of what existed in the Mishkan and the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni and the Bayis Shlishi, and we could add and in Gilgal and in Shiloh and in Noiv and in Givon. Okay, there are certain basic things. What are the basic things you need no matter what? Azara, the Heichol. Notice, no Ulam. You don't need Ulam. There was no Ulam in the Mishkan. The Kodesh HaKodashim, the Chen HaKelim, HaMuchrachim, Li Yois, the Kulam. You have to have certain basic. You have the Mizbeach, Mizbeach HaOyla, which has to be square, or Mizbeach HaKetores, the Oroin. Notice he says Oroin. That's shocking, because there was no Oroin in the Bayis Sheni. Haloi Davar. And over here, according to the Malam over here is saying it's Ma'akev. That's when it's the verse of Ratzura. Very, very interesting. The Shulchan, Umenoira, the Chadoime. So these are things, that's the first reference of the word. So this Chesel told Klal Yisrael, this is Ma'akev B'diyevet. Now, let's go to Dvarim Beis. Dvarim She'ena Mukhrachim, V'yechoyim L'Hishtanois. Things that can change. Kifi Azman, K'mo She'nishtanu Dvarim B'Mikdash, Min HaMishkon, V'Bayis Sheni, Min HaBayis Rishon. For example, the Mizbeach. We're going to learn soon the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach keeps on changing. The Mizbeach in the Mishkan is almost completely different in every way than the Mizbeach in the Bayis Rishon. And the Mizbeach in the Bayis Rishon is different then the Mizbeach of the Baal Yisheni. And the Mizbeach of the Baal Yishlishi, we're going to learn through over here, is also different. It's a whole different Mizbeach. The dimensions, the side, everything is changing. It's a basic form, but there's going to be major differences in the Baal Yishlishi. So interesting, the second time it said the word Tzura is to reveal there are things that are Ma'akev, but they change. They change over time. Isn't that an amazing idea? You talk about, you know, in halacha, the very big debate, when does halacha change according to the time? There are certain halachas that were said in time of Chazal, and when you look at these halachas with Zman HaZeh, you say, you know, it's really not relevant today. Today, do we really have to still follow these laws? It really doesn't seem to apply with Zman HaZeh. So you say, make a statement like that, you can become blacklist is not Bikiris. But yet, there are many examples where you do just that, where even among the most extreme right-wing elements of Klal Yisrael, things indeed have changed. Don't look at Daf Yomi yesterday. The Gemara talks about Kone. This is the one Kone. What was the Ma'ila of Achila Hashiloini? He cursed Klal Yisrael. Better the curses of your friend than the blessings of your enemy. And what was one of the things he said? He said that he cursed Klal Yisrael to be like a Kone or like a reed. So the Gemara says, even though it's a curse, a kon is the most insignificant thing in this world, but yet there's a lot of brach. It sways in the wind, gives a machlef, and then the Gemara says, and they also we take from the kon to use as a coolness for a Sefer Torah. Really? What Sefer Torah today has been written with a kon? It's an amazing thing that in this extreme right-wing world we live in, where we can do anything today, the day will come, you're going to see, it's going to happen one day. Mehuda was written with a kone. Today, what are they used to write with? Turkey feathers. Soon Thanksgiving. Many rabbanim, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, would not even eat turkey because there's no mesoira that turkey is a kosher bird. Okay? Most of us have no problem eating turkey. Okay? But Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, many gedolim, they say, listen, if you don't have, you have what to eat, you have what to eat, you have to eat turkey. You don't have to eat turkey. There's no Messiah. It's an American bird. You want to go and all the slumdas that they did. It did exist here, there. All right, all the Torah on it, that's not for now. Isn't it amazing that from all the birds, the feather that was used today to write every single Sefer Torah is the turkey feather, not a chicken feather, because a turkey feather, they're very strong, they're very good, it works very, very well. So and today, if today a sefer will write with a metal kumis, which the keses ha-sefer says is mutter, 8 shel barzel, you're blacklisted. No one's going to buy your sefer Torah. If you make tikkunim, if you even make corrections, some of them are fact. I once made corrections with a pen. I was taught by a sefer, and he gave me his pen. He says, yeah, you can have my pen. He gave me his pen. He told me where to get it. And he says, to make corrections, you can't use a colmus. It just doesn't go. You can't use, to make these corrections, you have to use a metal pen.
Like a Waterman pen?
It's a special pen. So today, the very machmir, they use special ink. So he didn't use special ink. This is one of the biggest cyphers in America. He's not in the world so well now. But he gave me his pen. It's a metal pen with synthetic ink, and he made corrections. This was a sefer mumcha that all the Gedolei Yisrael would buy from him. Today already, I showed this to someone, so someone says, no, Rav Rosner, he was against this. You have to make corrections also with the kolmus. I said, you can't do it. It'll take you 20 times longer to do with the kolmus, and it's not so good to make very small, minor corrections. He said, no, that's the Messiah. The Messiah? But it's a turkey feather. The turkey. There was no turkeys in the time of the Gemara, and the Gemara explicitly says that there was a kone.
Ago,
what?
Right?
What?
400 years ago, there were no turkeys.
Exactly. Exactly. And the Gemara says a kone. So what is Messiah? And today it's also everything. Now they have plastic. They make these amazing kulmasim for beginners. They make it out of plastic. It's made with the lasers. It's made with ultimate perfection. It's a very big skill to make a kulmus. It's a very big skill. So they make now plastic kulmasim, which are cut perfectly, and they don't wear out. With a turkey feather, they wear out very, you have to keep on sharpening this and that, and make new ones, and patch around a lot. It'll never wear out. And it's perfect. It's perfect. So when they first started this, people made a macha, you can't do this, what are you doing? Now they do it, no one says boo. So you see over here, there is such a thing that things change. Things do change. I'll give you a really great example. Trust me, the day is going to come very soon when you're going to see a signs that this Sefer Torah was written with a konek. with a reed. They took the reed from a swamp somewhere in Eretz Yisrael and they wrote the Sefer Torah. It's Mechudar. Costs another $50,000. What?
The proofreading by itself.
What do you mean? The computers?
Yeah.
No, you still a halacha need to do with a human being. It's true, you have to still do, even with the computer, you have to still do by, that's the halacha. Sure, that doesn't seem very good. You're saying very good. Some things change, yes. And some things never change. They're not going to sell you the Sefer Torah unless it was checked by a person. At least one time. The Chatfila three times, but one time. But they're also not going to sell you a Sefer Torah today unless it's checked by a computer. Because the statistics are that every cipher makes about 30 spelling mistakes. Spelling mistakes. And when you check, a human being checks, they catch 28. They catch 28 of them. But one or two always sneaks by. So the computer chaps. 18 only, when they first, computers started being used in the 80s, the early 80s, when they started using computers, they discovered that only 18% of Sifrei Torah were spelled correctly. You take out a Sefer Torah from the Ur HaKodesh that was not checked by computer, even Sifrim that we used hundreds of years ago by Gedolei Yisrael of the previous generations, old Sefer Torah, only 18% were spelled correctly. How could that be? Okay, I don't know. That's what it is. Okay, but even with the computer, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't change. You have to still do what it says. But you see over here an amazing thing over here that in the Beis Hamikdash itself, the Mokim Hashuas Hashchina, the Malbim says, the reason why it says here the word Surah a second time is to teach you, things change. There are things which have changed over time. The Mizbeach is a case in point. It changed over time to a different Surah, Piruach HaKodesh. I always like to give the example of the menorah. Is the menorah the round menorah, like we are trained with, or is it the Rambam menorah? Who says there's only one menorah? Maybe it changed. Different mishmaros, different kufas, they do use a different menorah. The Gemara's machlokes, the lechem aponim. Was it round? Was it square? So, elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim. Different kufas, they had different techniques they used. Sometimes they use round bread. Sometimes they use square bread. The position of the menorah in the shulchan, it's the major machlokes, the Rambam, all the Rishonim. Was it mitzofon ledoro? Mitzofon. So elu v'elu Elokim chayim. These things are not ma'akev. These things change over time. For whatever reason, the Rabban, the Lishkas HaGazis, they decide this tekufa should go this direction, mimizrach lamarev, and this tekufa should go mitzofon ledoro. And then Gimel, the Malbim says, Dvarim Shehei Miyuchadim Rak Lamikdash Hashlishi. Then they're all of the bells and whistles, all of the Hidurim that are only going to appear by Shlishi Shiagia Sha'asa Tikun. See, he's saying over here, he's not really saying exactly what Rashi said. He's saying it's similar, but it's not exact. The idea is similar. That when the Shas HaTikun arrives, then we'll merit all these extra milas. They were unable to add all of these details in days of Ezra. Hagam sheyodu b'divrei Yechezkel, even though it says in the Psukim, b'nei sheyodu she'adayim, they knew, lo higia es HaTikun, they were not worthy. They were not worthy of adding all of these details. The Tikun did not arrive. Rak miktsas devarim asher kiblu m'pi ha'neviim, she'echelim la'asoyso dugmasei. The Nevi'im only gave them permission to add to the Bayis Sheni some of the things, but not all of the items, because they're not yet worthy of these things in the Bayis Shlishi. K'may Shekasev HaRambam Hilchos Beis HaBechira Al Rishon Omar, the first time it says Tzuras HaBayis, now he really reads this into the Pasuk. It's beautiful what he does over here, the Malbim. Why it says here three times, because this is one of the longest Pasuk in Tanakh. I don't know if it's longer than that, but this is an amazingly long Pasuk. You get to Haftorah, Parashas Tetzaveh, you know, you're learning a very, very long pasuk here, and all the repetition. What's going on over here? What? But you read from the klaf. If you read from the klaf, you really got to know how to read this well, not to make mistakes. So it says over here, someone told me that Rus is the hardest Megillah to learn. I said, what, from a klaf? I said, what are you talking about? Koheles is 10 times longer than Rus. Right. He says, you are Aris, you never learn from klaf, you know from nothing. He says, In Rus, you know how many Krivich Sivs there are? You know how many Kriyas Sivs? Almost every part is a Kriyas Siv. A lot more. There are so many Kriyas Sivs. Yes. So you've got to basically read it by heart. Because every word you read in Rus is another Kriyas Siv. In Koheles, it's straight.
You know, Rus is older than Koheles.
Whatever, the Kriyas Sivs. So a lot of Kriyas Sivs, you really got to keep your eye on the ball. So here he reads the pasuk. Now we're going to reread the pasuk according to the parish of the Malbim. Malbim reads the pasuk over here. It's al rishon omar tzuras habayis. So it says there are three different expressions. So the first time it says al rishon omar tzuras habayis usuchuna so umotzav umovav ritzon olaymar hatzura hamuchrachas. The first expression refers to what is critical, what is essential. Liyois b'chol bayis, in every bayis. V'yes ha'chadorim v'hasho'orim ha'muchrochim. Things which are critical.
I am not ready to go outside.
Ha'muchrochim li'yos bikulam. Okay, things that are critical. Al ha'binyan ha'meyuchod rak. Al ha'binyan ha'meyuchod rak l'osid v'ein yucholim la'asos k'mohu b'zman hazeh v'mei shinyonov heim chukim ne'elomim shlo yiskalu adzman ha'osid. And there are certain things which you can't do, which are not we're not ready for until the Mashiach comes. Omar, then it says regarding those things, it says the next expression. Omar v'chol tzuroisav v'eskol chukoisav shachukav heim advarim shatamam ne'alam, which are concealed, which are hidden. V'alvarim shehem emtzoim, things which are in the middle, which can change here and there. Bein binyan harishon, bein binyan hashlishi. Omar, on the middle level of things, it says v'chol tzuroisav v'chol toroisav toidah Elohim. So he's going backwards. It's a really beautiful translation of the pasuk. It makes the pasuk so it totally transforms the pasuk. Let's read the pasuk again inside now, according to the parish of the Malbim. According to the Malbim, pasuk Yudalef reads: V'im nichlamu mikol asher asu. The Jewish people, if they are ashamed because of their sins, then I want you to teach them about the Beis Hamikdash. First, teach them about the essential elements, which are me'akev, which are critical, and the mikdash is not called the mikdash unless they exist, and they are the tzura sabayis usechuna. So here means its essence. That's simply what the mitzudah, the rabbi, and the Malbim is saying. The word usechuna so, we have like a new translation. Mitzudah said usechuna so means its location, its environment, its mokon. Rashi said usechuna so means its counting. How many toim are there? How many lishkos are there? How many of this? How many tamarim are there? Here he learns usuchuna so means its essence. Its essence. What are ma'akev? Umoitza'av, the rooms that go out, umoitza'av, period. Then when it says the next, put a period there. The next expression is referring to the bayis shlishi, and also teach them about things which are beyond them, which will only merit details of the bayis, which will only merit when Mashiach comes. That's the next expression. The chol tzuroisav. The is called chukoisav. Chok is something which you do not understand. It's beyond you. It awaits you in the future. Period. And then when it says the last expression, that refers to things which can change. Things which are essential, but things which have to be adapted, have to be altered according to the times. The chol tzurosav, the chol toirosav, the law. Things which he's interpreting this word to mean, the Torah, which means which is relevant to the times, and how it has to be adapted different, when the Bayis Mishkan was one way, the Bayis Rishon another way, and the Bayis Shlishi another way, Hoidaisam, make it known to them. Write it down. Now he's not saying the fourth word, which basically is a summary. The yishmu is called tzura. So I guess it means it's an overview. They should guard all these three concepts together. The eskol chukaisav, the asua sam, and they'll do everything in their right time. Esakol osse yofe biita. So to review, according to the Malbim, we break the pasuk into three parts, describing what is critical. Then we describe what is nelam, the choik, what's going to be in the future. And then we describe the Torah, which means practical. Practical depends upon the time that you're living in. There are going to be changes between the Mishkan, the Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni, and the Bayis Shlishi. And then when you know all this, put the big picture together, understand this concept. When you understand this concept, then you're in business. It's the past, the present, and the future. You understand that there were critical things. We're going to a very exalted future. But in the meantime, we have to be practical and have a proper balance. A balance between what is essential and appreciating what is beyond us. Okay, so this is what I wanted to review with you in regard to these two psukim. And now we're going to go to the next parsha. So we have a few minutes. Let's just start just a little bit in the Mizbeach. When we're doing, obviously, we're not going to have time. We'll just get our feet wet. Pasuk Yudei, Zois Taras Habayis. So Zois Taras Habayis simply is going back on the past. Okay, is Zos a word which refers to the future or the past? So simply over here, we're going to say Zos. Let's put aside now. We're finished. Asim. What we've learned in the past is the tsura of the law of the Beis Hamikdash, and which includes Al Roish Shahar, which is situated on the top of the mountain, Har Moria. This week's parasha is the first time we come in contact with Har Moria. The Akedah took place by Har Hashem Yeroeh. It was Avraham's Bakosh, his tefillah. Har Hashem Yiroeh, that the place where he was makriv Yitzchak as the Akedah should be the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reveal himself to Klal Yisrael. It was due to Mamash learning Yeron D'Yoyma. Hashkocha Pratis, we're learning this pasuk over here. We're reading about the Beis HaMikdash in the backward drop against the parasha where the very first revelation took place. Al Roy Shahar, Kol Givulo, its boundaries, Saviv, all the way around, Kodesh Kodoshim. Everything is Kodesh Kodoshim. That's a little bit strange because Kodesh Kodoshim is only the Kodesh HaKodoshim Mamash. And here it says that the entire mountain, with all of its boundaries, is all in the status of Kodesh Kodoshim. Difficult pasuk. I don't know what this means. We'll see what it says in Farsh in a moment. Hinei, and now there's repetition. Kedarkoi, there's a lot of repetition. Vabasi, it's not clear what these things mean. Zos, Toras HaBois. Nochmal. This is the law of the bayis. These expression appears at the beginning of the pasuk, at the end of the pasuk. It's like he's saying Kriya Shema, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, and then Asher Tzeis Yeschem Yeresh Aliyoschem Lelukim, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. There's a lot of significance in that. Whenever you have a pasuk that begins with and ends with the same words, there is a very deep message. What is the message? I don't know, but in that pasuk, I think what it means is that it's the theme of Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Going off on a tangent, I'm running out on time over here. Anyway, it's relevant because it says Zois Taras HaBayis. Let's try to apply this. It's a very interesting idea. Why do we say every single day the parasha of Tzitzis? That's not that. Why do you have to say Tzitzis? Just all you have to say for Kriya Shema is Shema, and which is V'ohavta. And v'hoya im shamaya. Why do we append to Shema v'hoya im shamaya the parasha of Tzitzis? So there are many answers. Tzitzis is kinei called the mitzvah. Tzitzis corresponds to all the mitzvahs. Yitzias Mitzrayim. You have to remember Yitzias Mitzrayim. But there are many psukim that mention Yitzias Mitzrayim. Why do we select this? Okay, there are many, many answers. Let me just give you one answer that's relevant to this pasuk. That's because how do you begin Kriya Shema? Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. There's only one Ribbono Shel Olam. Yet in life, it doesn't seem like that. In life, every person, B'li Yotzei Min HaKlal, goes through good times and goes through times that do not seem to be good. Difficult times. How could it be the same God has brought upon me, Hashkoch has brought upon me good, wonderful, wonderful events, wonderful things, Siyat Deshmai, success, health and children, marriage, the hulu, things which I have nachas from, and yet there are times in life where things don't go well. And I do everything I possibly can do, it just doesn't go. Things don't go. It has to be. There's a different Rahman Lustan. A person can say there's a different God. There's a God for good, a God for bad. The God for good was here, he's on vacation now. He went out for lunch, and now there's a God of bad. That this is what the belief of the Umas Olam existed. This zugais. The theme of Klal Yisrael is this is mamash kefirat the thing. This is what we say twice a day. Hashem Echad, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. It's the same Ribbono Shel Olam that's brought you nachas. At times, is giving you a nisayon. He brings upon you difficult things. Don't make a mistake. It's the same Ribbono Shel Olam. It's only one Hashem who brings good and bad. Well, let me just finish this thought. So that is the most. That is the most critical point of belief in Yadus. With Baruch Hashem, we take it for granted. Baruch Hashem. There's only one Ribbono Shel Olam, but no, until modern times, this was not taken for granted. The pagans don't understand this whole idea. Mimela, the most perfect thing to emphasize this point is the last pasuk in Tzitzis. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, who has done for you miracles. Asher hoitzeisi eschem me'eretz Mitzrayim liyos lochem lelokim. We learned Mamshul is really relevant. We just learned there. I've taken you out of Egypt. When I took you out of Egypt, there was Kriyas Yamsuf. There was 10 Makas. There was Matan Torah. The Amuresh, Amur Anan, Nisim Nifloim. But you know, life is not always about miracles. We don't live with miracles today. If there are no miracles, so maybe the God of Yitzias Mitzrayim is not the God of today. So the pasuk concludes at the end, Nochamo, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Nochamo, I'm the same God. Without them, and period. Silence. There's Ani Hashem Elokeichem, followed by Asher Tzeis Yeschem Yerushem Liyoschem Elokim. Period. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. And what? It's nothing. There's something that's supposed to follow after Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Nothing. Because there's a life that we live in, you don't see it. You don't see the great miracles. Yet, it's the same Ani Hashem Elokeichem. It's the Zelba Ribbono Shel Olam. This is the theme of Echad Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And to emphasize this, we say Emes. Emes V'yatziv, this theme, that it's one, what we started off with, Hashem Echad, and we conclude the Kriyat Shema, the Ribbono Shel Olam who does miracles, is also the one that guides us in times of darkness, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Emes. Emes V'yatziv. This theme is 100% Emes. That's why we conclude with Kriyat Shema, because it has this pasuk, which is one of a kind. Memela, let's go to this pasuk and conclude over here. Zois Toras Habois. The pasuk starts off. You know, it's like a sim. It's like Ani Hashem Elokeichem. We've learned. We spend. Mayor, let me. Mayor, say your piece. Mayor, I apologize. Yes, say.
There's a saying that says when things are good and you see Hashem helps you, you have faith. When things are dark and He's not helping you, He has faith in you.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's a very beautiful idea. Barrel has faith in you. So we hear this pasuk, you know, this pasuk Yud Beis is like the equivalent to Ani Hashem Elokeichem that we say when Kriyat Shema is over. We've learned four parak, three parakim, Mem Aleph, Mem Beis, and now we've learned half of Mem Gimel. All about the structure, the architecture. Mm-hmm. We're now being Messiahim. How are we Messiahim? With two Ani Hashem Elokeichems. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Zois Taras Abayis. The glorious bias. Al Roy Shahar, Al Gvulois, Ksaviv, Saviv, Kodesh Kodashim. Period. That's, I'm trying to say some Jewish now. I'm thinking out loud with you. Jewish. The glorious days. The glorious days of the Beis HaMikdash that we had in the past. The Mishkan, Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni. But you have to also remember, Hine, Zois Taras Habois. Have faith. There's going to be another Beis HaMikdash. The Chasima, it's all the same. It's all just a matter of time. And the Ribbono Shel Olam is here even in the time of Hester Panim. There's also, we say maybe Zois Taras Habois means there's a Beis HaMikdash still Lamala in Shemayim. And the Avodah person engages in every single day in his Avodah HaKodesh. And what he does, how he serves Hashem, is the equivalent to doing Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash without all the glory of the Rosh HaHor Gevuloi Saviv Saviv Kodesh Kodashim. Today, on the Rosh HaHor Gevuloi Saviv Saviv, it's not exactly Kodesh Kodashim. There are Nochrim, and there are Yishmaelim, and there are a lot of troublemakers roaming around the Rosh HaHor and the Gevuloi Saviv Saviv. You don't have that. It's like Zois Taras Habayis, silence. What's the silence? What we have today. Just because today on the Rosh, on the Har HaBayis, there's no one there, we don't have the glory of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it doesn't matter. Zois Torah Sabayis, the avoida of serving Hashem, the Bote Kinesios, the Bote Midrashos, the Midrash Ma'at, and a person's avoida is the Torah Sabayis. The lessons are eternal, endure forever. And it's just a matter of time until the physical structure will be rebuilt once again. Let's see Rashi, and we'll finish up. Rashi will give Pasuk Yudbeis. First, the Mitzulis, Pasuk Yudbeis. Zois Torah Habayis, return Loimar, Mash and Niskar B'mikra, Shalafanav Zois Yerin Limud Habayis. Al Roy Shahar, return Loimar, Zel Bin HaOymeid, Al Roy Shahar, V'chol Gvuloi Misavim, V'chol Kodesh HaKadoshim, V'al Har Habayis. He's saying a Chiddush, that the entire Har Habayis is called Kodesh Kodoshim, Ki Kol Achuzas HaKoyhanim V'Halim Yikorei Kodesh. K'mo Shenemar, V'hoysa Trumas HaKodesh, that's going to be later on. The Truma is referred to this location. Truma Sakadosh refers to this area. The Har Habayis Yikore Lemulon. The Har Habayis is called, I'm sorry, the Achuzas HaKoyhanim V'Halavim Yikore Kodesh. That is linked to later on. At the very end of this, of Sefer Yechezkel, we learn something very strange, very mysterious, is that there's going to be a redivision of the land. When Klal Yisrael came in the time of Yehoshua, the land was divided. Al Pi HaGoyrol, and there was a division. When the Bayis Shlishi will be rebuilt, the whole Eretz Yisrael will be redivided all over again. And there's going to be a major difference this time. And that is, the Kohanim and the Levim are going to receive a chelek in the land. Until now, it says, Lo yelahem la Kohanim al Levim, they have no chelek, Hashem hu nachalosai. Kohanim and Levim do not own land in time until this point in time. They can get Yerusha, they can purchase, but they did not get a chelik from Yehoshua. Le'osid lavoi, the land will be redivided and they will get land. So Rav here, the Mitzudos is quoting that pasuk, is that then where will they live? They will live basically right on the outskirts of Yerushalayim. The area surrounding Yerushalayim is going to be the chelik of the Kohanim and the Levim, and this land is going to be called Kodesh. Thus, the Mitzudos David says, if the place where the Kohanim and Levim are going to get, where they're going to live, surrounding Yerushalayim is called Kodesh, or Yerushalayim, they're going to be living in Yerushalayim, they're going to get that land, Memela, when you come to the Har Habayis, which is even more sacred, which is higher, which is in the center, that's going to be called, relative to their proportion, Kodesh Kodoshim. Just like we call the Dvir, which means the Kodesh HaKadoshim, is Kodesh HaKadoshim relative to the Kodesh before it. Kodesh HaKadoshim lumul shel beis shel bin yinei hamigdash. Hinei zois taras habayis, the repetition, zois hi limud habayis. I've told you about the beis hamigdash, ladas shemokim harabayis, the Kodesh HaKadoshim lumul achuz hakarim liim. This is a limud. This is a teaching. It's very strange. I don't know the depth of what he's saying over here. It's very, very deep. But this is a concept which you have to appreciate, that the Har Habayis has sanctity of Kodesh Kodoshim relative to the surrounding territory, which is the property of the Kohanim and Levim, which is called Kodesh. Rashi, Pasuk Yud Beis, there is no Rashi, and with that we're going to stop. We did not even get to the sheets, so after that, tomorrow, Pasuk Yud Gimel, the Eilu Midois. Kamis Beach.